I do enjoy watching our dog, Finn. I haven't been so bold as to let Finn visit church. What do you think? Think I should bring him by? Okay, fine. And today, of course, we're talking about sheep. I also thought it might be fun to bring a sheep in here. Have you ever had a sheep in church? Well, just imagine. But if Finn was here, maybe your pet too, even if it's a cat, possibly, but certainly a dog, when you call the dog comes. Isn't that generally true? Anybody have a story of a dog that doesn't listen to your voice? Yeah, probably. Okay. And sheep really are no different. You know, some sheep don't listen to the voice of the shepherd, right? And you can just imagine. Now, back in Jesus' day, now, of course, that was a very agricultural time. And that's why sheep are so often illustrations and metaphors in the scripture. And this is why it's important that we as the people of God right now in 2017 need to keep crafting and thinking and prayerfully coming up with new images for the gospel, new metaphors to use to explain our faith, because not everyone would get the analogy, oh, don't you know that the sheep always listen to their own shepherd? Now try that out sometime in the grocery store line, just as a test, a random test. And I doubt really most everyone would get that. But so we can understand, and maybe many of you know, that the sheep back in Jesus' day, it wasn't like people had their own private fences in their own backyard with possibly a pool or perhaps a private garden. Everyone who kept the sheep outside the city, because we know some sheep were kept inside the sheep gate, but those out in the valley, down in the valley, down from Jerusalem and out in the countryside where Jesus spent most of his time, all the sheep were kept in a community pen. Now, what a mess that was. But imagine a great big pen where all the sheep were kept. Your sheep, and your sheep, and your sheep, and your sheep. And all of them are all in a common place. So when it came time to take the sheep out to go to your hill, by your where your family lived, in order to cut your grass, and in order for you to maybe get some wool to save up for those winter coats and sweaters, you would just go over to the pen, and you would go by the gate, of course. There's only one gate on the pen. You'd go by the gate. You'd open the gate, and you would call out to your sheep. Now, I doubt if you called them out, you know, Dancer, or Prancer, or Don, or Vixen. It probably wasn't exactly like that. But I'm sure when the shepherd of the sheep called out, let's go, or all the yo-ho sheep, up front. I don't know exactly how that worked. But I know that when they would hear my voice, my sheep would begin filing out to the gate because they knew that if they came with me, they'd get a treat. That's often how I got my kids to do errands. You go with daddy, you get a treat. And so maybe he trained them like we do sometimes our pets. The sheep will come out. Maybe they were given a treat. And so they follow the shepherd. And also know in the passage that Roseanne read that the shepherd doesn't follow the sheep. Which again, to talk about Finn, Melissa and I, our dog, he rarely follows us anywhere. We're usually being drugged by the leash. And this is why I want to send him to reform school. But anyway, the sheep, though, you notice, would follow the shepherd. The shepherd wasn't back there, hey, hang on, sheep, wait a minute, wait, hang on, you're going the wrong way. No, the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and they knew not to get ahead of the voice. And so, come on out, sheep, time to go. Good day's work, let's go. And so they led them out, and so they followed. I don't know if they were all in a single file like the ducks, or whether they were sort of in mass. And we always know, we remember that Jesus' parable about the person who lost a sheep. Remember, lost one sheep out of 100 and went out after that one? So we know sometimes sheep go astray, and also from our gospel lesson, we know that sometimes people aren't the true shepherd of the sheep. And they'll break into the pen, maybe create a gate where there was no gate, and try to drag sheep out that don't belong to them. And Jesus warned the disciples about those like that. It says that Jesus used this figure of speech, but the disciples didn't understand what he was saying to them. Now, for us, we might be critical of the disciples. What's not to understand? That's like the most perfect analogy I could ever think of about Jesus and his people. But remember, to them, they were just sheep they were talking about. They weren't sheep. The sheep were sheep. So when Jesus was talking about the sheep following the shepherd, they thought Jesus was talking about the sheep following the shepherd. What else would he be talking about? And so it says here in the passage, again, Jesus put a second time and said, I am the gate for the sheep. Sometimes analogies and metaphors, illustrations we have to try to explain what our relationship with God is like, we may struggle sometimes to find how to explain that to a neighbor or to a friend, especially when they ask, or to tell them about an experience you may have had in your spiritual life that means a lot to you. It could have been this morning, or it could have been many, many, many years ago. But whatever it is, we have sometimes struggled to find the right metaphor, the right illustration to make it make sense to another person. Because Jesus has invited us into a relationship of experience, and all of us experience it differently. Some of us find our experience in church has a lot to do with where we are in the room. Now, some of us might sit in the front because maybe we're a little harder of hearing, or because we just like to be up front so we don't get distracted. There's a million good reasons to sit in the front. But if you're Presbyterian, you learned that whatever your reason, you sit in the back. But like in this church, we don't have a whole lot of back pews. You notice that, don't you? The back two are very short. Yeah, it's by design. And so most people don't sit back there. There's only room for a few. But and so we fill up usually from the back. But Jesus, in our relationship, all of us are in a different place with our relationship with our Creator. And it doesn't really matter where we are in our relationship with our Creator, as long as we know that that relationship is worth investing in. And that if you think you don't hear Jesus' voice so good today, so well today, there are assisted hearing devices available, like we have here in our sanctuary. You see, we have, as we surround ourselves by other disciples of Jesus, like we are here in church, we may not hear something quite right, or it doesn't quite make sense to me. Well, I went to church, it didn't quite make sense to me today. Well, another good reason why Dave is promoting our hospitality table, and while our hospitality team is busy signing up for taking a week, because that's where we get to interact and talk with one another. Hey, you know, I really heard an interesting story this week. Really, what was that? And so we can have these conversations. And as some have told me, some of you were introduced to Cold Spring Church many, many years ago because of your experience over coffee or lemonade or a treat after worship. And so Jesus wanted the disciples to understand it's not about the sheep. It's about the relationship with the shepherd. I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. And he wanted them to understand that he was the way in and out of the pen, in and out of safety. What would happen if the sheep decided, you know, I like this pen so much. Yeah, me too. So, you want to stay here forever? Ah, it'd be great, wouldn't it? We got all we need right here. We're protected from the wolves. And we don't have to listen to that pesky shepherd anymore. Why don't we just stay here inside the gate and just relax for a lifetime or so? Well, that would never work. The sheep weren't designed to stay inside the pen every moment of every day. They were only to gather in the pen to learn what it means to be a sheep, to have conversation with other sheep, to learn the latest and to share a story. And sometimes you may be hearing even the scriptures that are read. Or perhaps as I try to share a point or two about what I've learned from the scriptures with you, it just may go, whoa, right over your head. But somebody else sitting near you may say, you know, that really made a lot of sense to me today. That was just amazing. It was really clear to me today. The music lined up and everything was just wonderful. I feel so close to God today. And someone else may be saying, wow, boy, I'd have no clue what was going on today. I couldn't even understand anything. That's why we need one another. That's why it doesn't matter for us to evaluate your relationship with Christ versus somebody else's relationship with Christ, or somebody that you think's in the center of that pen versus somebody who's on the periphery of the pen, or, oh, we hope not, if we're one of those straggler sheep that got away. See, it doesn't matter as long as we know that the voice of the shepherd can always be heard. God's voice cuts through chaos. God's voice can cut through confusion. God's voice can cut through our pain. God's voice can cut through our celebration. God's voice, the shepherd's voice, as with the sheep, we can hear. Like in a busy room, if your mom called you, or if your child called out to you in a busy room, wouldn't you hear it? Because we're so attuned to things that we love, to things that are important, that we remember, we listen, and we follow. But sheep were not designed for the pen. In fact, again, the thief will break into the pen, try to steal the sheep. The thief doesn't try to steal the sheep when they're outside in the pen. They only try to steal it when they're all together, when they're not paying attention sometimes, or when they're just there ready to leave. And so we come just maybe a few months afterwards in Jesus' life story. Jesus went to a cross and died for his sheep. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead, right? And that tomb was empty. And Jesus said, just as I have risen, so you will risen, you will rise one day. And so it's shortly after that, Jesus ascended into heaven, and we'll cover that text in the next week or so. But here in the book of the Acts, and the Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, act is short for activity. Because when Jesus called people to follow him, he did not call them to be stagnant. He did not call them to stay still. He did not call them to stay in the pen. He actually invited them out. And so the passage in the book of Acts that we read today, it's right on the heels of the apostles doing amazing things. And they had special gifts then. They're just absolutely incredible gifts. People were baptized. People signed up for things. About 3,000 took the apostles at their word. And they committed themselves, the apostles, to the teaching of the apostles, their life together. They had a common meal. And for us, of course, we remember this, Lord's table as our common meal. And for the prayers. And everyone was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles. And the believers lived together in wonderful harmony. Just like Cold Spring Church. And it says that they held everything in common. That is, whenever they had a blessing, whenever they received a gift, whenever they just had an experience of abundance, it doesn't happen all the time. So sometimes, actually, we experience some scarcity, go through periods of our life, or there might not be a whole lot of resources at certain stages of our life. That's possible, even prolonged stages. But there are also, happily, times in our life, short or long, where we have sort of an abundance of resources, and we can not only have our own needs met, but we also have enough energy, enough resources, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in order to offer them to others. And so here, in this passage, it says, and they not only lived together and held everything in common, but they even sold what they owned and pooled resources when needed so that each person's needs were met. And that's sort of like what we do today at Cold Spring Church. We receive offerings. There are other ways to give gifts. Even like Jonna mentioned, anonymous gift to support Family Promise, just out of the blue. A lot of us do all sorts of amazing things during the week. It doesn't show up on our offering thing. Let's see, is that there? No, it's not there. But yet we're out there in between Sundays doing wonderful works in the name of Jesus Christ. All these things are important. In fact, we should find a way of celebrating the ways that we contribute by volunteering, by being a fireman, by working, volunteering at the hospital, by helping a neighbor with the trash. A million things that we can do. And so the apostles were together. And listen what they did. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at each other's homes. Every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. And I like this, how this is reading from the Message. The Greek does have sort of a little humorous twist in the word that's used, and it reads this way. People in general liked what they saw. I like that. People in general like what they saw. No, I don't like that. Okay, there could be some people that don't like that. I don't like red cushions. Oh boy, me either. I know, it's awful. But people in general liked having a cushion. Oh, I don't like the acoustics in that room. Well, you know, maybe some people have a hard time because they have a hearing aid or for whatever, it's difficult. But you know, most, in general, people liked what they heard. Oh, I don't like what they're doing over there, those apostles. In fact, there's a story of that in the Acts where the Jewish families were receiving preferential treatment to the Greek families in the church. And they kind of complained about that. And that's where the board of deacons was born. The deacons were responsible to make sure everybody received according to their need, proportionally and equally, in a just way, in a fair way, in a responsive way, like our deacons try to do. And so here in this passage, we see the early apostles responding to need and responding to the ways as their own life experiences so that everybody receives a benefit. But again, like the sheep in the gate, the apostles didn't just stay in the room celebrating a meal and singing hymns and reading the scriptures and sharing their resources in common. No, they left the room. See, our call as disciples of Jesus in the world is not only to celebrate the times that we gather to celebrate, but it's actually to celebrate and be empowered, to be strengthened, to be resourced, to be equipped, so that when we depart through those doors or through those doors, we have new spiritual energy. We have new encouragement. We've learned something maybe. We've been reminded of something we've known for so long, you can't even remember how long you've known it. But you had forgotten it, and the day you remember it. Perhaps it was seeing someone who's been away from vacation for a while. Or perhaps it's someone that you see every single week, but it was this week that you happened to say hi, because your paths just never cross a church. You go out there, they go out there. You see, the church of Christ wasn't called to focus on inside the building. The church of Christ, the followers of Christ, actually, all of this is all about what goes on out there. Jesus' sheep, or the shepherd's sheep, knew that. They were not born for the pen. They were born, they were equipped in the pen. They were safe in the pen. They were nurtured in the pen. No doubt the sheep gave birth in the pen. New numbers of sheep were added in the pen. But it was going out and being sheep that Jesus invited the early church to do. That the apostles were out doing amazing things. And in general, people liked what they saw. You know, I'm really sure that over all the years that we've been doing ministry here at Cold Spring Church, that this community knows that Cold Spring Church does some pretty cool things in the community. And that I think people in general like what they see. And so the challenge is, can we connect with the people all around us and however we connect and however they want to connect and create new opportunities for them to join us in celebrating what Christ has done for us? You know, the first law of thermodynamics says that the energy, if you will, in a room, in a space, in a universe, doesn't go up or down. It's a constant. The second law, and I know I'll be fact-checked on this, so I'm ready to learn afterwards, but as far as I know, the second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy says that objects will remain at rest unless what? Acted upon by an outside force. That describes the church today. We are gathered like sheep in a pen, like people in a building. It's all good, but something is acting on us. We're not left in this room alone. In fact, I don't think any of you stay here between after church, do you? No, all of us have a reason to leave. And the second law of Christ's thermodynamics is that all of us remain at rest. We're fed and nourished by the Spirit. We're encouraged. We feel welcome when we're down. We get lifted up. When we're feeling excited, we share our joy with another. We share our resources in common so that people's needs can be met. And then we're acted upon by an outside force, which is the Spirit of God, which becomes an inside force that moves us out. And that's why the world can never be different because we meet here today. And that's why I think Easter changes everything. Let us pray. Just for a moment, as I invite us in prayer, just remember that God has invited you here today for who knows what reason, but you're here today, and you're here today to receive that nourishment, to receive that sense of peace, to receive that new insight, to be informed and reshaped and reformed, and that we all today are members of Jesus' sheep. And we thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to be part of your family called the church, and that you have not reinvited us to remain, but to be prepared to be sent. And I thank you for reminding us of that today. In Jesus' name, amen.